is Dr. Darrell Muller, and welcome to The Power of Your Destiny. We're so happy to have you here with us once again. You know, we are overly joyed to have you here with us. This is The Power of Your Destiny broadcast, part of the Christian Lifestyle Network. Again, we are so elated to have you with us on today. And today we have a phenomenal gentleman with us on today, Dr. Charles Richburg, who is a scholar, a published researcher, and educator. And he's going to share with us today some of the things that his business, his company does. Today's show is Empowering the Future Leaders. So we want to connect with him on today, and we want to get all the information that he has. He's actually connected with college. We'll let him share that as he comes on to give people an opportunity to elevate or to upgrade themselves academically. And so some great things that we're going to talk about in the show today. Dr. Charles Richburg, the third, great man, smart. You know, I love smart people. I love to bring intellectuals onto the program, and Dr. Richburg is one of those people that can help to elevate you from one place to another. You know, I always say, as the Bible, I truly feel one of the overwhelming things that the Bible shares with us is that knowledge is like a light. Knowledge is a light. In fact, the Word of God says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." So when we receive knowledge, we elevate ourselves. A light switch turns on. We elevate ourselves to another level. But the only way we can do that, go to another level, is that where we're going next is illuminated. You must be able to see where you're going before you take your next step academically or intellectually. And so Dr. Richburg has been helping students with SATs. He's been, I guess it's still called SATs. If it's not, I apologize. It's been about 1,000 years since I took mine. But he has been helping people to get these kinds of skills, skill sets, helping to test them, as well as helping adults find how to get themselves to the next level. So we're going to have a great show. I want to encourage you, if you have any questions or comments during the show for Dr. Richburg, please do not hesitate to chime in. We have changed our process. Let me do some housekeeping while we're doing this. We've changed our process. So when you come in, if you would press 1, if you have any questions, comments, or you would just like to get a response, please press 1 and we'll bring you on the show, and you can ask Dr. Richburg any questions that you may have. Again, we are so happy to have you here on the Power of Your Destiny broadcast, part of the Christian Lifestyle Network. Now, before I get ready to go to our audio break, we had a phenomenal time today over at Rich Springs Baptist Church in Johnston, South Carolina. I've made a wonderful new friend in the pastor there, Pastor Wilson Oliphant. Actually has written a book, and we're going to have him on the show. You know, to meet to meet God's people and to meet people as you go out and you speak and you preach and these things, that is what it's all about. So we just had a wonderful time at their Men's Day today. And so we're going to be back right after this audio break. This is your host, Dr. A. Jerome Butler, and you are listening to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast, part of the Christian Lifestyle Network. And we will be right back after this audio break, my brothers and sisters.
I need all the miracles in the house to get up. If you're a miracle, stand up on your feet and make some noise in here. Let's go.
I heard that you were for a sign that he was still right.
Put it up, come on.
Every time
put it up, come on.
Every time
put it up.
brothers and sisters, I want you to remember that you are a miracle in God. I want you to remember that when everything else in the universe transpired and prevailed, God had you in mind to do something in the earth, something impossible. You were made to do. You are a walking, talking, breathing miracle. You've got to know that, and you've got to believe that. You've got to even speak it into your life, to know that you are more than a conqueror, to know that the impossible thing that was in the universe God created me to do. Think about that. He knew you before the foundation of the earth, and he made you to do something impossible. The question is, are you being the miracle you were created to be? But you are a walking, talking, breathing miracle. We'll be right back. Let's keep it going.
I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking, moving miracle. Where the miracles in the house? Make some noise in here. Everybody, point to yourself.
I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking, moving miracle.
This is Reverend Timothy Williams, pastor of the Montmorency Missionary Baptist Church of Montmorency, South Carolina. You are tuned in to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.
Amen, amen. And this is your host, Dr. Adrian. I couldn't help myself. I had to come in on that song because, you know, sometimes it's so easy to forget that we are a walking, talking, breathing miracle, to know that we were created and crafted as individuals. There's not anyone identical to you in the earth. When God created you, he created a miracle. He created something. In fact, I even have it in my book, and guess what the book is called? Managing the Miracle. I even posted it, have a chapter in my book that we discussed, that you have a better chance of winning the lottery 27 times than being born. You are a miracle. I'm here to tell you, it's an exciting, wonderful thing to have this life. Forget about what you see on television. Forget about everything that's going on, the distractions that you have. to know who you are and whose you are should be an encouragement to you. It should get you up in the morning. It should get you moving to know today is a day of possibility, something I've never seen before, and I have the authority and power to change things around me and in my life. And so we're just so excited. Now, I'm going to get off of my soapbox. You know I'm excited today, because I'm serving a living God who has He's brought me out of the muck and mire and the pit. And so I'm so thankful today for what God has done. So I know if He can do it for me, guess what? He can do it for you as well. Well, our guest today is Dr. Charles Richburg. You know, we've had him on the show before. Dynamic gentleman, as I stated before in our monologue. You know, he is not only a great scholar, but also a published researcher and an educator. Dr. Richburg has also he customized plans of actions for his clients, and he just has proven results. And you'll see when we interview him that his mind is 100% on getting you to the next level. If you are a leader, he wants to give you the information, give you the tools that empower you to become a leader. Now, you know, when I was in the military, we used to have something that we say was a leader born or was a leader structured and crafted. And it always came out that a leader had to be crafted. So someone can put you in the position, but if you don't have the skills, then you're not a leader. So a leader has to be crafted. And Dr. Richburg is one of those people that help craft you as you're looking towards getting to your future, whether it's in your education, whether it's in your business, whether it's through grants. Well, I'm not going to tell everything. We're going to bring him on and let him tell you himself. Dr. Richburg, welcome to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. Butler. Thank you to you and your listeners for having me on again. I've been looking forward to our get-together.
Wonderful. We have been patiently waiting to get this together as well, Dr. Richburg. We know we had some technical difficulties, and you had so much information. You're a wealth of information. We ran out of time as well, and so we want to allot you as much time as possible to get this information out to our audience, and that they might, like I said, elevate to that next level and turn that light switch on. So, Dr. Richburg, would you please just introduce yourself to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast, please?
Sure. Good evening again, Dr. Butler and your listeners. As been stated, I'm Dr. Charles Richburg. I'm new to the area of Aiken, South Carolina. My wife and I moved here a little over a year ago, and since we got here, we hit the ground running, so to speak. We are always encouraged and always willing to help to move people forward from wherever they are. One of my mantras is, wherever you are, there is another step, and it's just a matter of you being willing to be able to be shown how to take that next step. I'm not going to take time to go into my academic career because you've stated it so eloquently. However, I have been looking forward to this interview on leadership because leadership is one of my areas of expertise, and I always look forward to sharing with those who are current leaders or those who are aspiring to be leaders. So whenever you're ready, Dr. Butler, we can move right into our interview.
Well, we love to do that. Again, like I said, we're so happy to have you here with us. So, Dr. Richburg, as you know, we've talked before about you crafting a plan of action for your clients that get results. As it pertains to a leader, what are some of the things that someone needs to bring to the table in order for you to bring a plan of action about to help them in elevating to their leadership position, whether they're a business owner, whether they're going into management, things of that nature? What would they need to bring to the table to you in order to say, these are my skills, this is what I have, this is what I don't have? How do you need to take a tally when somebody brings that to you, and what's your process of getting a plan of action for them so they can move forward?
Okay, one of the very first things I think we need to do for your listeners, for our purposes tonight, I'd like to use a very standard definition of leadership. And a leader is simply one who has the skills or ability to lead other people. It's just that simple. That's what a leader is, irrespective of the industry, irrespective of the areas that they aspire to move to. And when you think about leadership, there are two basic types of leaders, and you mentioned them before. There's the assigned or designated leader, and there's the one who emerges as a leader from the ranks. And oftentimes, regardless of the industry, leaders are placed in leadership positions sometimes as a result of being attached to owners and primary leaders in a particular industry, but the two basic types is those who are assigned or designated and the emerging leader. And when we think about leadership types, there are two basic leadership types or styles, if you will. One is the transformational leader, and the second is a transactional leader. Now, no matter what industry you're involved in, having leadership knowledge and skills puts you in a position to be a better leader. Now, when we talk about a transformational leader, that's generally the person who serves multiple roles in an organization or in an industry or for a company. A transformational leader is one who has the ability to take his or her skills and impact those whom they lead. In other words, sort of a cheerleader type, always looking at the big picture, thinking about the next steps, so thinking months, oftentimes years ahead of where a particular industry may be at that particular time. And you have the transactional leader, and that's the leader who tends to be more hands-on. He or she is often involved. It's not necessarily the day-to-day work of running an organization or a business, but it's that person who has the ability to wear multiple hats and be equally effective, whether they are wearing the hat of the transformational leader by encouraging subordinates, by moving them along, by teaching them. So, again, irregardless of the industry, when we think about leaders, a transactional leader and a transformational leader, for the sake of titles, we'll work with those two terms tonight. I'd like to share with the listeners also a very powerful, in my opinion, two-letter, 10-word phrase that I use, and it states, if it is to be, it is up to me. And oftentimes when I'm sitting with others in leadership workshops or what have you, oftentimes when that phrase is heard, if it is to be, it is up to me, that doesn't necessarily mean, well, it never means that you're responsible for doing everything all the time, because if that were the case, then you would not be a leader. You would just be a multi-talented person who I can assure you would run out of energy in a very short period of time, trying to do all, be all things, all people.
Right.
Now, as we move forward and think about leadership, and please, it's important for your listeners to understand, I'm talking in very broad terms here. Irregardless of the industry, of the company, the work setting, these principles that I'm going to talk about briefly, these are absolute must-have. First, we'll start out with how. People talk about leadership and those who aspire to be leaders. And one of the things I discovered in my research, I'm not sure how many of your listeners are familiar with the Covey family. The Covey family has been involved in leadership for decades and decades.
Oh, yeah.
And recently, yeah. I came across some work done by Stephen M. R. Covey. And one of the things he said, that the number one challenge for leaders in the 21st century is going to be that of trust. And I thought, wow, the number one challenge, when you think about all the challenges that leaders face,
right.
Trust is at the very top of that list. And along with trust, a good leader have to have the ability to effectively communicate. And I'd like to just go through real quickly some of the basic secrets of great communicators.
Can I ask a question, Dr. Richburg?
Sure.
Why do you think trust? Because as you're talking, some dynamics, and again, you know, and you can tell me where I've got a few questions, to ask as we're going into this, and then we have some questions from the chat room for you as well. Why do you think he felt trust as a business owner, as someone who's done extensive research into leadership and how to best equip leaders? Why do you think he felt trust was what was number one priority in his list here in the 21st century?
Well, the reason that trust was number one on his list, if you reflect back to the very first opportunity you had, you talked about, for example, being in the military at some point, as was I. I spent 4.5 years in the Navy. And when we think about someone who wants to lead us, number one, if there's a question about that person's ability, that person's commitment, that person's understanding of the objectives, if there are any issues with trust, then the subordinate or the leaders, those whom he or she lead, they're going to be somewhat hesitant, and that hesitancy can cause product failure. It can cause you to not be as productive as you would like. Just think about relationships. All of the relationships we have, whether they're personal, whether they be in business, trust has to be there. And I believe that's
has
why
to be. You're exactly right. I totally agree. Thank you for clearing that up for me. We have a question from Steven out of the chat room. Steve said he's a leader or manager in the company that he works for, and he believes in people working with him and not for him. How would you, with someone that has that mindset, and he says he has 7 people that work for him, but he is, I'm reading it, he does run into certain issues because of different personalities. So maybe this leadership style that he's using for these particular individuals is not working for him. He says that he's kind of a team builder. I guess as I'm reading into what he's saying, that he's kind of a team builder type, that people work with him and not for him. Do you see any problems in his statement? Do you see any problems? Because he's saying he has a problem with certain individuals. You think maybe changing his modus operandi might help him some, or someone brings that to you, Dr. Richburg, is there any advice that you would give them maybe to tweak their leadership style or their management style?
Sure. There's another great book that I've used over the last few years, and the title of the book is called Good to Great by Jim Collins. It's the New York Times bestseller list. And one of the things Collins talked about, and I've had an opportunity to test his theory, and that is with this young man who's managing these 7 people, Collins uses a bus metaphor, riding a bus metaphor.
Okay.
He said, number one, it's important to get the right people on the bus. Then it's important, once you get them on the bus, to get the right people in the right seats. So
right seat.
Oftentimes when there are problems like this manager is facing, I would ask him to look at duties that he assigned day to day and to review whether or not he has the right people in the best position to be the most productive. And
right.
That's something that takes a little time. It takes a little experimenting.
Right.
You know, a lot of the research out there talks about some people are better to be approached in the morning with training. Some are better midday. Some are better late day. So I would just ask him, suggest that he look at his personnel and see what roles he've assigned to those seven individuals and see perhaps if he have people in the right seats on the bus, so to speak.
Gotcha.
And one other thing, the basic secrets of great communicators, building the relationship first. Oftentimes, managers and leaders don't have the time that's needed to build those relationships because, again, we're going back to trust. So that would be my recommendation to him. Maybe just kind of review, see what he has people doing, where he has them doing it, what time he has those people doing those things, and he may see different results.
Gotcha. Okay. I hope that answered your question, listener. He's listening, so he's not responding. So hopefully that answers his question. We also have a question from this is from a pastor, Pastor Ivy. He says he's out in Oakland, California, and he considers himself a transformative leader, and he agrees with everything you've said. But he's running into difficulties with his staff, trying to separate being their pastor and them working for him as a managing them in the church. Do you ever run across anything like this, Dr. Richburg, where you have a spiritual leader that is also the manager? And what would be your advice to this particular pastor out in Oakland, California? What would be your advice to him on maybe how to handle this without, you know, sending these people to work for the church somewhere else? How would you handle that? Or is that something common, uncommon? Have you ever been hit with that before? And again, Pastor, I know you're listening. Thank you so much for the question.
Yes. Good evening, Pastor, out in Oakland. One of the first questions I would ask is, were you the spiritual leader of these people before you began to manage them or to lead them? Are you involved in, are you leading them in ministry, or are you leading them in a business that's not necessarily related to spiritual work?
And that's what he's saying. He's pastoring them, but they also work for the church. So this is what he's saying. He's pastoring them, and they also work for the church. And somewhat, there's a conflict there, if I'm reading what he's saying here.
Well, as a transformative leader, and I'm using his own words, what policies the pastor have? In other words, does he have an open door policy whereby those whom he's leading who works for the church, he keeps the lines of communication open? Is he willing to listen to some of the ideas, or is it a situation where he's under the control of a board and he's limited in terms of his leadership freedom? See, oftentimes people are put in positions to lead, and yet they're not giving the necessary tools in order to perform those functions. But again, I would start with being willing to listen and pay more attention, and I'm not assuming that he doesn't, but to pay more attention to those whom he leads and to find out what's important to them, not only at work but outside of work. What are their interests? What drives them?
Right. What's motivating them? It's
exactly.
Very good point. and we thank him for that question. And I'm sorry, I wanted to get those questions in. I know you have a lot of information,
Dr. Lynchburg,
but we want to make sure we got that information in. So you can continue with your discussion.
Okay, now just staying with this same pastor, what I would suggest as well is to remember people tend to commit to causes more so than plans. You know, people generally commit to causes more so than plans. And those whom this particular pastor is leading, are they in the job to do something, or are they in their jobs for something? You see, that will help him to identify what drives this group of individuals. Especially when you're talking about navigating that spiritual and that practical tightrope sometimes, because
business
it can
piece.
Be just
right.
that.
Surveying
his constituents on a regular basis is another way to find out, because when you do those things and people don't have to fear any type of retaliation. In other words, if you ask me my opinion and I give it to you, and you don't necessarily agree with it, do I have to be concerned with any type of workplace retaliation? So those are just some other suggestions I would make to the pastor. But going backing up
staying
a little
in that
bit,
same vein, Dr. Richburg, I apologize. Staying in that same vein, would you think maybe putting someone in a administrative role to kind of be that buffer for that pastor and those employees might be, hiring an extra person to buffer that role? Because again, it's kind of dropped in my spirit, because I'm also a pastor myself, and sometimes those leadership spiritual relationships can sometimes, because I'm constantly asking my secretary to do XYZ for me, or the sexton, or somebody that's on staff to do something. And, sometimes I do get that look.
Right, I can understand.
you understand, sometimes I do get that look, and, but it has to be done. And, I want to make sure that at the same time that personally myself, I don't hinder that relationship, their spiritual relationship with God, as I'm trying to lead them also. So what would be your advice in that situation? Maybe an administrator or somebody to buffer, or somebody else on staff to take their concerns without, knowing who it is? Or would you just say the open door policy, come and talk to me, there's no retaliation, so on and so forth?
Well,
because even if we say that, some people really think that there's going to be retaliation. Because, somebody in my staff came to me, I have no problem whatsoever. Would not take it to heart one bit, whatever they said. You understand what I'm saying? But still, some people, when you're talking about their economics, when you're talking about their livelihood, sometimes people can be a little leery about sharing their feelings.
Sure, of course. One of the first things I would ask, Pastor, is when you're talking about identifying a buffer of sorts, or an administrative or liaison for that, between you and those whom you lead, I would evaluate my current staff and see if, in fact, I have an emerging leader among that group. The pastor in Oakland, about having seven people, perhaps he has an emerging leader right there, and that person would be ideal, because we tend to follow those whom we know have the experience, who have done what we've done, who've been where we are. We tend to be a little more comfortable, and there may be an emerging leader right in that group.
Very good point, Dr. Richburg. Very good point.
Now, I hope that was helpful, that response was helpful.
Definitely. For me, it was, so definitely.
Now, when we talk about leadership, obviously communication is a big part of that. And as I said earlier, build a relationship first. When a great communicator approaches a coworker, he or she takes the time to say, good morning, how's your day going? Did you have a great weekend? oftentimes these are courtesies that just kind of come out as part of a routine courtesy. But when you're serving in a leadership capacity, asking subordinates those questions can make all the difference in the world. You may never see that in their countenance. You may never see that in the way that they respond to you, but it has meaning for them. The second thing a great leading communicator has to be able to do, he or she must know what they're talking about. Because oftentimes, when we go back to those two leadership types that assign a designated leader, oftentimes that person can come from somewhere else, and you have a core group who has been together for a while. And a real quick story that relates to that, when I was in the Navy, I had a lot of junior commissioned officers who had just come from Annapolis. And we had been running that boat for a few years before they got there. We knew how things were because as commissioned officers, obviously, they're the leaders. And we responded to them based on the knowledge that they had about whatever it was we were doing. Once we knew what they were talking about, or they were willing to learn and grow and not have all the answers, eventually those men became good leaders, in my opinion. They went from being good leaders to great leaders. And I'm saying men because at that time the Navy hadn't yet allowed women in to serve on ships, so I don't want to offend any of your female listeners out there. That was back in the day, as they say.
we totally understand. Dr. Richberg, on that note, you know, a new leader coming in to a situation, as you spoke about in the military, and we also saw it as well in the Army as well. You know, you would have a new lieutenant come from West Point or come, and you had some that would try to put their fingerprint on what was already running almost to perfection.
Right.
And so on the other side, for the person that is dealing with the leadership, and I'll just use this as an example. It's true, but as an example, young lady who had worked in a position in the courthouse for, you know, 16, 17 years, young lady straight out of a couple of years out of high school with no college degree, is hired to be her boss. And so now, you know, she had to teach this young lady everything. And I think she struggled with it because she was resentful that I've been here for 16 years. This kid is, you know, this young lady, excuse me if I, again, like you said, offended anybody, but I'm just using her words. This kid just came a couple of years out of high school, doesn't even have a college degree, and she's my boss. And so how would you address the person on the other side, on the flip side, that has that new leader that has come in that you feel you may have more skills than they do, you feel you may have had more tenure than they have, but yet and still they're your manager? So how would you help somebody get past the resentment part of that leader? Because that leader may not be transformative at this point. They may not know anything about this leader other than I'm having to train you. So what would you say to the person on the other side of the totem pole?
Well, the first thing I would say is it sounds as if this high schooler who came in and was all of a sudden a supervisor, it sounds like that person was an assigned or designated leader, or perhaps nepotism was running rampant in that particular place, because that's rare in that particular setting. Having worked my last 7 years as a criminal court administrator, the role of the clerk is critical because they make the judges and the DAs and everybody else move. But in this particular situation, what I would advise that person to do is to keep an eye on opportunities, because those years of experience that she has can translate into opportunities for growth and development. In the interim, one of the things that I would do, I would learn my supervisors, I would learn their quirks, so to speak. I would learn their strong points and their areas that need improvement, and send the message that I'm here to work, I'm here to serve, and going back to relationship building. See, that's not just a one-size
gotcha.
Situation. Subordinates
gotcha.
Can build relationship
yes.
with leaders and vice versa. So that's what I would advise that person. And one way someone in that subordinate's position can really help the situation is determine how much that new person, does she listen more than she speak? Because that's one a lot of us in leadership positions sometimes fail to do. We generally, it's difficult for us to listen more than we speak because we can feel the pressure of being a leader, and that's not true. No matter how sincere
right.
the leader is, they have to be willing to listen and
of course.
To listen sincerely. And
of course.
By listening, it helps to focus on what the other person is saying. And something that's not used as frequently as it should be, it's called using a feedback loop. And what I
okay.
mean by using a feedback loop, I'm sure, Dr. Butler, you probably understand, but this is more for your listeners' edification. A feedback loop is a simple process. It's if you and I are in a conversation, and I just simply repeat back to you, you say something to me, and I'll say, well, Dr. Butler, here's what I heard you say, and repeat the
mm-hmm.
gist of the comment. That way, miscommunications is minimized, if not totally eliminated. And using that feedback loop oftentimes can cut off a lot of disagreements, a lot of resentment, a lot of unnecessary workplace tension, no matter what the setting, no matter where the setting is. And
right.
so those are my suggestions for those situations. And
great.
Whether you are
and
current,
Dr. Richberg, We want to I want to allot you as much time as possible to got 16 minutes, but I also want to, if you will, share with the audience about the new opportunity of education that you're connected to. And I just want to make sure, just kind of keep. I'm sorry we had the questions. We didn't want to miss the questions. And so we'll have to smack my hands about the questions I asked, you know, because these are scenarios I've been through. But, you know, the audience's questions are very important. But at the same time, we want to make sure that I, you know, keep you apprised of your time that you have. So I want to allot you the next 16 minutes to share in whatever you want to. And definitely please share about the new educational opportunity that you're involved in.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Butler. excuse me. Since we last spoke, I was selected as the regional coordinator for Mercy College. Mercy College is a New York-based liberal arts college that's been operating since 1950. And for the last 15-plus years, we have a bachelor's degree program. It's called the EDGE program. It's an acronym for Executive Development and Growth Experience. And the EDGE program offers opportunities for people to earn their Bachelor of Science in Organizational Management degree in 1 year. This program is offered 100% online, and as the regional coordinator in this area, I can offer a 15% tuition discount. And the qualifying criteria to be considered for admission into this program, students with either 60 credits or an associate's degree qualify to enroll in this particular program. You can go to my website at www.richburg, that's richburgcs.com, or call my office phone, which is area code 803 803- 226-0878. I'll repeat that again before we leave, Dr. Butler. This program is unique in the sense not only that one can earn their Bachelor of Science in Organizational Management degree in 1 year, it's designed primarily for working people because one of the other admission criteria we take a look at is previous work experience. And we like for our students to have at least 3 to 5 years of work experience because the program is often in an accelerated format. And the reason why students can earn that degree in 12 months is because we do a course a month. So the rigor is there, but the opportunity to work at your pace to a degree because you have to stay within the parameters of the class. But this is an opportunity that heretofore has not been offered in this area. And the dean of the business school in New York, we talked about this, and we thought that it would be a good opportunity for the CSRA area. And I'm really excited about this program. I have several information sessions scheduled. Matter of fact, I have two this week coming, one in Augusta and one in Burnettown. But as I said, those interested, they can go to my website and get this information and give me a call, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that they may have pertaining to the program.
Wonderful, wonderful. And listeners, again, keep in mind, this is online, and so even though, you know, we have listeners, as we said, you know, this pastor out in Oakland, California, we have listeners in Wisconsin and all these other places, you know, Mercy University, Mercy College out of New York, can they still connect with you, Dr. Richburg, or would you have to refer them to another location?
No, no. All they need to do is contact me. As a matter of fact, to ensure that they get the 15% tuition discount,
gotcha.
I am the primary contact person. And by contacting me,
no matter where
me,
they are.
Right. No matter where they are, if they contact me, I will make sure that the 15% tuition discount is available. And this is a new program in this area, and we'll be launching our first cohort in January 2017. So I'm really looking forward to getting this program off the ground. But your location, if you have a computer and you have access to the internet, you can enroll in this program.
Right. Right. And that was my point. I was wondering. Right.
Yeah, they contact me, and before they register, that way I can check off and make sure that they get the 15% tuition discount because this is only offered as an incentive for the students that come through the CSRA program, no matter where in the country or in the world, for that matter, they come from. And That's something that's needed down here because my research showed that there's only one school in the region that offers a similar program, but their program is 18 months long, and ours, as I've said, is 12 months. So do the math, folks. It's
Amen.
It's no-brainer.
No-brainer, right?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dr. Richburg, we have about 10 minutes left. Is there anything else you would like to share with our leaders as far as empowering them and the tools they would need? And like I said, we know this is an abbreviated interview. You know, I know you have a wealth of knowledge. This is what you do every single day. So is there anything else you would like to share with the brevity that we have, you know, of 9 minutes or so? How to share with leaders on their skills, how to empower them.
Sure. excuse me. In addition to what we've spoken about already, one of the things that leaders can do to not only to lead others better, but just to improve overall performance is find a common purpose within the organization, within the company. Imagine the possibilities.
Wow.
Walk hallways or walk the warehouses and just listen to what people are talking about. And I'm not talking about water cooler talk or eavesdropping.
Right.
If you're in tune with what people are talking about – you get a better sense of how to lead, and you learn so much from listening to folk. Because I often say to my students, there's a reason why we were born with two ears and only one mouth. That means we should try to listen at least twice as much as we talk in most cases. So, excuse me. It's important to survey situations. I don't mean something necessarily formal, but periodic spot checks to see where people are, because oftentimes a lot of issues that people bring to work, it's not a leader's job to deal with outside issues, but it is a leader's responsibility to be able to provide whatever support that may be necessary. Because if I have a good worker and he or she is having a problem on the outside, I will do all my power to help aid and assist that person. Because when you find out about others' ideals and what's important to them, it helps the relationships. It helps the workplace relationships. You know, the late, great Dr. King once said that leaders should align their dreams with the people's dreams. I'm sure what he meant by that was not that you're looking to go opposite direction of what organizational goals are, but to be more inclusive in what it is you do. In particular, when it comes to today's environment and culturally diverse environments, see, that's one that a lot of leaders must learn how to do in today's climate, because a lot of what used to be national now is global. I'll share a quick assignment I gave to some graduate students. I was teaching graduate school on leadership, and I asked each of them, they were all working on their Masters of Organizational Leadership degrees, excuse me, and I asked them to go out and to spend some time with someone from a different culture other than their own. And they went into various industries, technical, engineering, social work, and what have you. And the leaders who were students in my class all had 20-plus years of experience in places like Verizon and other global companies. And what they came back in reporting in their papers was amazing. Because oftentimes workplace conflicts come about because of cultural or ethnic, socioeconomic misunderstandings. And as a leader, the more you can enhance your knowledge and your skill sets when it comes to cultural diversity, I assure you, you will be a better leader. And last but not least, most who have been leaders were once subordinates. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that as a leader, I must be as committed to continuing to learn about how to improve my leadership skills as my staff and those who work with me must learn about their industry. Excuse me, Dr. Butler. It must be my cue that I've been talking too much because my throat's getting dry here.
not at all, my friend, not at all.
But I will share with your listeners, if there's anything they've heard, if they'd like to hear more about it, I'll give you my contact information again. It's www.richburgcs.com. Feel free to call my office at area code 803-226-0878. And again, I have been blessed once again, Dr. Butler, from your work and your commitment to serve the community. And for that, I applaud you. I try to keep track as best I can via your website on some of the things that you're doing and some of the things that you plan to do, and I encourage you, because one of the things that those of us who sit in the big seat, sometimes we don't get a chance to see the whole picture, or sometimes we can feel like we're working in a vacuum. So as a leader, from one leader to another, I encourage you to continue with what you're doing, because as you said in your opening, the scripture tells us, the book of Proverbs, I believe it is, the writer said that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And along with that knowledge, we must get understanding. And that understanding comes from our willingness to lead and learn ways to continue to lead and improve, because that term is, leadership is bantered about worldwide now, and it has more meaning now than at any time in our existence. And all you have to do is look at the colleges and universities that are offering degrees specifically in leadership, whether it's executive,
of course,
educational. And I encourage those listeners who are leaders to know that there are places where you can get information, you can get the help, aid, and assistance that you need, and you never have to be alone, because if you know that God is on your side, and as the book says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And again,
who can be against us? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Richburg. Again, like I said, you're very astute in what you do in empowering people. And personally, I love to be around those types of people. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and the things that I don't know, I avail myself to sit at the feet of people like yourself to learn from. Warren Buffett, one of my financial heroes, and I think everyone knows who Warren Buffett is, one of the richest men.
Sure.
Richest man in the world, not just in America. One of the things that Warren does, and I truly believe this, is Warren says he always has a mentor. There's something in life that he is constantly does not know about. So he avails himself. Keep in mind, dear hearts, if you're the type of person no one can tell you anything, that may be the reason why you may not be in the position that Warren Buffett is in.
Amen.
But over the years, we have utilized some of his techniques and some of his thought processes and ideology, and this is one that I truly, truly have engrafted into my life. I constantly, whether they are outside of my own religion, and yes, I am a Christian. By me saying that, and you know, I have studied the Tao and other things, Confucius. And yes, that does not mean I'm walking away from Christianity. Y'all don't shudder. But you utilizing other, even if they have passed, utilizing other knowledges and other people to become mentors. And so I look at you, Dr. Richburg, and what you're doing as that the mentorship that you do with adults. You're helping people to become better. And so thank you for coming on the show. We pray God's greatest blessings on you and your family and over your business and what you're doing. And we encourage you to connect with Dr. Richburg. He will be a blessing to you in your life. So Dr. Richburg, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Butler. Be well.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Dr. Richburg, Charles W. Richburg III. Dear hearts, connect with him. And just remember, this week as you're going out, keep in mind that you are truly, truly a blessing. There is nothing that anything can stop you. Remember to love God, love life, continue to keep the light on. We'll see you next week. Take care.